The number of people with coronavirus has grown to more than 80,000 across the world, with new cases in South Korea, Iran, and Italy spiking over the last few days. There have also been more than 2,700 deaths. Today, the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, elevated Australia's response.
We believe that the risk of a global pandemic is very much upon us, and as a result, we need to take the steps necessary to prepare for such a pandemic. And so earlier today, I instructed through the NSC, the Minister for Health, to be engaging with the state and territory ministers, to be bringing back the plan to identify any gaps in capabilities at the various stages or levels at which a pandemic may proceed to. In the event of a pandemic, the goal is to slow its spread if it gets to Australia. But with the number of countries that are now affected, we have to be realistic about the likelihood of containment strategies into the weeks ahead. Now, our effort at the moment is focused on ensuring that it doesn't, but we need to ensure that we know what the gaps are if indeed we move to that phase.
The virus has reached more than 30 countries and billions of dollars have been wiped off the stock market. Michael Schumann is a Bloomberg columnist and is based in Beijing, and he joins us tonight. Michael, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
We checked in with you in late January when this was starting to unfold. We've seen a few peaks and troughs, and now do you think the global market will be settling anytime soon?
I don't think so. I think the markets are going to be struggling over the next couple of weeks to figure out where the bottom really is and what's really happening. You know, part of the problem with gauging the economic impact is that we don't know what the duration is going to be of this outbreak, and that's really the important thing. The feeling has generally been that there's going to be some kind of, you know, V-shaped recovery, that things are going to be very bad in the first quarter, and then you'll have a resurgence and there'll be pent-up demand, and then you have basically an instant kind of comeback. But the longer this goes on and the more disruption that there is and the more countries that get involved, then you start looking at it a different scenario where people are talking about, you know, a U-shaped recovery that would have kind of a flatter bottom, a longer impact on the global economy. As long as this uncertainty kind of hangs over financial markets, I think you're going to continue to see the kind of volatility that we have in the last few days.
In economic terms, is looking at the share market the most realistic gauge of how the global economy is being affected?
Not necessarily, because I know looking at the U.S. market, I think there was a while where investors were looking at the whole situation much too optimistically. And now maybe you could say in the last few days they've kind of swung in exactly in the opposite direction and become almost slightly panicked over what's happening. I think that's because it's so hard to tell how this is really going to play out. I mean, when you look at what's going on, for example, here in China, when you look at the official numbers, things are looking better and better. Yes, there's some economic activity that's coming back, and some factories are starting to open, at least on a limited basis. But you're still looking at some places like here in Beijing that, you know, continue to put more restrictions onto people's movements.
The U.S. President Donald Trump gave a rare press update on the issue today. He was asked about the hit to the U.S. stock market. Let's take a listen.
I think it took a hit maybe for two reasons. I think they look at the people that you watched debating last night and they say if there's even a possibility that can happen, I think it really takes a hit because of that. And it certainly took a hit because of this. And I understand that also because of supply chains and various other things and people coming in. But I think the stock market will recover. The economy is very strong. The consumer is the strongest it's ever been. Our consumers are incredible. They're incredible. That's why we're doing well and other countries have not. Even before the virus, we're doing great. Other countries have not been doing great. Our consumer is very, very strong.
He didn't seem too worried, Michael. What are your thoughts on his response?
He's overly fixated on the stock market as a measure of his own performance. I think the stock market has been catching up with reality, where, you know, when you have so many companies these days in the U.S. that have become so reliant on China, especially for their growth and their profits, and when you see the kind of profit warnings that one company after the next, has been putting out. When you look at estimates for the let's say losses on for airlines and hotel companies, things like that, it makes a lot of sense to me that stock investors are reevaluating what valuations should be at this stage. For Trump to kind of blow it off as if this is just kind of some kind of overreaction, I don't think he totally understands how interconnected the U.S. economy is to the world and how U.S. companies are so global that what happens overseas has a massive impact on what happened to their bottom line, whatever is happening in the U.S. economy.
We've heard various reports about how much activity is going on in China at the moment. Are people going back to work? Are factories open? And are people spending money?
It's very, very hard to say because it's very difficult for people like us to get around the country to find out what's going on. I think the picture is very mixed. I think in some areas where you haven't seen very much of an outbreak, I think things are more normal than they are in other places, which I think haven't really gotten back to work very much at all. I mean, we know factory owners who are trying to open, but they're under a lot of local restrictions in terms of health requirements that makes it difficult. They do not have their workers back, not nearly 100%, because the workers either can't travel or don't want to travel back to where they're working. You know, a lot of workers in this country can't get back to their places of work. And then, you know, here in Beijing, you still see, you know, a lot of shops are still closed, a lot of restaurants are still closed, a lot of people still working from home, people don't want to be outside. And it's understandable because there's so many restrictions on what you can do that it's actually somewhat stressful and unpleasant going outside. With constant temperature checks, constant checkpoints, you can't get into any building or shopping. Well, you can't get into a Starbucks without them taking your temperature and writing down your details to buy coffee. So in that environment, you know, people are not really incentivized to kind of go around out on the town. And because of that, a lot of small services have still not opened.
Have we seen much change in the Chinese government's leadership over the last few weeks?
I think it's been somewhat interesting that for the way the Chinese leadership here operates, they have kind of come out publicly and said, you know what, we kind of screwed this one up. I mean, they don't use that kind of language, but they have talked about shortcomings. They have admitted to basically a slower response, which is very interesting for them because the Chinese Communist Party usually likes to present itself as infallible, especially domestically. But, you know, there was so much criticism, you know, online and other areas here that I think it kind of forced them to come out and say, yeah, we didn't do a particularly great job with this. What that means in terms of the way they're going to govern this place long term is impossible. But I think that has, from kind of denying that the government really had any role in this outbreak and acting like everything was fine, to turning around and saying, hey, you know what, we'll take some responsibility for what's going on. It's actually a pretty big shift for this leadership.
Michael, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Bloomberg columnist based in Beijing, Michael Schumann there. This is RN Drive.